Well, you know? I mean, if your friend's getting punched in the face repeatedly...
It wasn't ever so bad where it's like, oh, he's going to have brain damage.
No, I wasn't suggesting you should help him. I'm like, yeah, like you said, if the guy deserves to be punched in the face repeatedly, my instinct is to pull up the camera phone.
I should have.
You should have, yeah.
No, it got broken up by the shisha bar owner.
Yeah.
Coming out and being like, you get out of here, I phone the cops!
That was kind of a racist impression.
Easy there, Champeroni.
Holy shit.
I was just reading Ender's Game so I can be a little racist.
Have you read Ender's Game?
No.
The guy's a fucking douche nugget.
I just saw his new the thing that just came out today about
what's his new thing?
It's Obama secret army bullshit. But.
Oh yeah, it's something about secret armies. He's just
gang members.
I mean, I think what he's really doing, and this is an interesting strategy, is to make sure as many people as possible want to see his movie. Seriously, the producers of that film have got to be just like shitting everywhere. Yeah. Like, why they're not coming out and being like Godzilla and being like, this guy's a fuck him.
Oh my God. You know what, on a day when somebody from the literary world is outclassed by somebody from wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling was classy today.
Classier than Margaret Atwood.
A wrestler came out as gay today and all the other wrestlers were like, attaboy.
Yeah.
That boy,
yeah, just suck my dick.
Well, and for nobody a second, I was confused because it was like he's the first openly gay wrestler. I'm like, isn't Pat Patterson yeah. super gay? But I guess he probably was
what
never
wrestler
like,
is this? It
Darren Young. Who he is. He's part of the front end players. But I was just like millions of dollars. But I was just like, was Pat Patterson never like openly out? Because
I don't. It was always
not,
like a
it's
wink,
like the worst kept secret in the world. Pat Patterson is gay.
It was like a wink, wink thing. I think everybody kind of.
You know what else is the worst kept secret in the world?
Or
the Obama secret army.
Of
we all know.
I mean,
of course,
since we all know. Sorry, not gang members. What is it? Low income urban youths, I think was what he said. And then I think
so. Black and Hispanic people,
gang members.
Like not all black and Hispanic people.
No,
I mean, like
just most of them. No.
Yeah, I mean, because when he's talking about when people say young urban youths, they're never talking about like young underprivileged white kids. Because and there's plenty of fuckhead young underprivileged white kids, but. That's just code. That's racist code for, you know, hooligans who are of the black and Hispanic persuasion. You know, I watched this documentary about the war on drugs, and it was interesting because at one point they spent a lot of time talking about how initially certain drug laws were brought in to target specific minorities because they couldn't target minorities by law, but they could design specific. So you couldn't get rid of the people you didn't like, but you could persecute the people you didn't like by making something that is commonly associated with that group of people illegal. So starting with like the Chinese people who came to build the railroads and what have you and lived under horrific conditions, that's when opium laws came out. Because smoking opium... Taking opium was fine. Everyone was taking opium. Housewives were taking opium. But smoking opium was more commonly associated with the Chinese migrant workers. So smoking opium became illegal. Taking it otherwise wasn't. And the same thing, each time a new, like, marijuana was associated with the Mexican migrants, and cocaine was associated with...
like white people from the 80s?
No, prior to that, no, the cocaine... The weird thing is also, like, the biggest drug money in the planet is not in Colombia. Like, the drug industry in the United States is 10 times bigger.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. But the other one is... What's funny is, so they made all these mandatory minimum sentences for these kind of drugs, right? Which were just horrible ideas, so it fucked over a whole bunch of people. But the problem was, then the United States got rid of all their manufacturing, and unemployment was sky high. So suddenly you have a bunch of low-class white people who don't have jobs either, and they start taking meth. And so now you have tons of low-class white people in these prisons for the same problems, because the meth became the drug of choice for the lower-class white people of the South when there was no more industry or places for them to work. So all this time, spending time, other than Nixon, this was what's even more fucked up, is that Nixon, when he like introduced the war on drugs, 2/3 of the money that was set aside for this war was dedicated for treatment and prevention of addiction and like medical treatment rather than policing. And it's Nixon. Nixon is the only one who was like smart enough to go, well, we can't fix this by police work. You have to fix... That's just the symptom.
Sorry.
We can't fix this by police work.
Suck it to me. But yeah, that's what's so... And then every president since then has gone on about the number one enemy of America is drugs and illegal drugs. And the
he's
illegal
to
drug
say
dealers. All, I mean, every president basically from Nixon forward, all of them. And they continue to spend crazy amounts of money. And they talk to David Simon, who's saying how like in a city like Baltimore, you have a cop who goes out on the street and busts, let's say, 60 drug users in a month. So you make 60 arrests. And any money that they confiscate, the department gets to keep. So they have every incentive to bust constantly, because any money that they confiscate, no matter what, any property they confiscate, and they can confiscate anything, just goes directly to the department.
What?
So, yeah, isn't that fucked up? But here's the other problem. So this guy busts six guys a month. So let's say he arrests 60 people a month, makes 60 arrests. And all he's doing is going out to the same places where the same people are every time, busting them over and over and over again. It requires no work whatsoever.
Like,
it's
nutty.
Not police work. Yeah, it's just like they go out and bust the same 50 people over and over again.
Well,
and
then you know, Joey, busting makes me feel good.
Yes, busting does make you feel good. And then you have, let's say, a homicide detective who might make one arrest in a month. So who do you think makes sergeant? The guy with 60
Richard
arrests,
Parker,
or the guy with one?
McNutty.
So, and also, they work crazy overtime, so then they end up with their base salary is like about half what they bring down for the year. So suddenly you have all these guys just doing all these drug busts because they're easy. You get crazy arrests, they get promoted, and they make more money. And as a result of that, as David Simon puts it, nobody can solve a fucking crime anymore. So, like, the closure rates for anything other than drug busts are bottomed out. Like, there's no arrests made because nobody can do any fucking detective work or police work. It's a complete lost art. So, like, by giving the police all these powers for this war on drugs, they crippled the police force in the United States to the point where they cannot solve a fucking crime. Anyway, the film is called The House I Live In. It's on Netflix, American Netflix, and it's
damn it
really good. Which brings
that's an even bigger crime.
We can't watch
stealing
that because
American
we're
Netflix.
In Canada.
I can't.
I can.
Well,
I can't.
Exactly.
Anymore.
You can't because it's illegal.
I can't.
So welcome to the Comics Roundup, the Geek Stampede Comics.
I tried to do a Ray Parker Jr. joke, by the way.
I heard it.
For clarification, I said Richard Parker, who is the main character of Life of Pi, which is actually coming out with a mashup, Life of Ghostbusters.
This actually brings up something we were talking about before the mics came on. Ray Parker Jr. was Richard Parker Jr. No, Ray Parker Jr.
Ray Parker Jr.
The,
is the singer.
The guy who does the Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters theme.
He
and
was
then,
sued by Huey Lewis
because
the song Ghostbusters is I Want a New Drug.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, welcome to
however, I Want a New Drug music video doesn't have Danny DeVito and Chevy Chase miming and...
that's a weird video.
Isn't that a weird video? Have you seen that video?
I've never seen it, but
it's like the entire cast of Cheers and Taxi all in one.
And not Ghostbusters.
And not Ghostbusters. Yeah, it's really stupid.
I just want to write a song now called I Want a New War on Drugs.
I want a new war on drugs. And then try to, like,
you know what?
Fit all the syllables.
Call
David
Simon.
The word war is thrown around way too fucking much now.
Yeah, well, as soon as you start declaring war on, like, proper nouns, you're kind of fucked. Yeah,
like, war on grammar.
There is a
war on
it's called
sadness. Oh, yeah. It's called text messaging from
him. Anyway, like I was trying to say, welcome to the Geek Stampede Comics Roundup. That's 8 minutes, guys. 8 minutes. That's
of education.
War on
you don't even
comics.
Need to watch that documentary.
Yeah, usually we're talking about Ryan's dick. This time we're talking about politics. That was
yeah.
good.
Well, I'm just not
getting the war on Ryan's dick.
No,
war
no.
There's a war on Ryan's dick right now.
My dick wages
a the war goes on. Anyway, this is the show where, theoretically, we're going to talk about the
at least
comic
this
books.
War is really short
hey,
and stubby.
Hey, hey, guys. I'm doing a show here.
It's been surprisingly thick.
So this is the show where we talk about comics eventually, and it's for the week of Wednesday, August the 14th, which is my dad's
yesterday.
Birthday.
Also 5 days after mine.
And the birth date of our good friend Scott Jackson's boy, Flynn Jackson.
Flynn Jackson.
A round
Flynn
of
Jackson
applause.
PI. I don't think he listens to the show, but if he did, he'd be all hearing us say that.
So, I like that.
Yeah. Scott
yeah,
anyway.
Like
I seriously, Flynn Jackson does sound like a good PI.
Flynn Jackson
I'm
PI.
Convinced, though, that it still sounds like a smooth jazz sax player.
I just
it's
think
just Flynn Jackson playing only the smoothest. Coming at ya!
Why is he Macho Man Randy Savage?
No, because it's
smooth.
Because it's soft. Because it's light.
Because it's really, really not abrasive. It's lighter.
I
just think that this child is going to grow up to be a pirate like Errol Flynn
hey,
in
Ryan.
The movies.
That'd be cool. Hey,
or,
Ryan. Who used to say, oh, have mercy?
Oh,
have mercy.
Elvis.
Dude Love.
Oh,
dude I mean, love. I think that Dusty also said
yeah,
it. Dusty. But I always associate it with the dude.
The dude.
Guys.
Guys.
Can we talk about some comic books?
Yeah.
Because it's almost 10 minutes in and I think people are going to turn us off in a minute. I'm
going to
start with this.
Already.
All right. On top of my pile.
And Tupper to Pearl, baby.
I had the least number of books this week again.
I spent $80 because I bought two trades. I bought Morning Glories.
Yeah, which and, one? The only one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first
Lock
and
Key
hardcover.
Nice, it's so good.
Is
I bought
it?
The Art of Howard Chaykin hardcover.
Did you?
Yeah.
I was kind of looking at that.
It's fucking nice. So anyway, the first book I read was Batman number 23 from Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo and Danny Meekie.
Danny Meekie!
The backup drummer Raphael Albuquerque and co-written by James Tynion the IV. So, 0 Year, Secret City Part 3. It totally kind of just picks up with the last, the Red Hood gang is going to try and kill Bruce Wayne. And it's a pretty well-written scene, and it's a really well-drawn scene, and talking a lot about the death of Thomas and Martha Wayne and not how it not only affected Bruce Wayne, but the rest of Gotham as well, which is a sort of a thing that I don't know how much has been explored before, but I thought that was kind of interesting, because it did bring a bit of a new wrinkle to a pretty tired story at this point. And there's a really great scene with Alfred. And the whole sequence with the Riddler in this issue was pretty great, too.
I'm loving the way the depiction of Riddler throughout 0 Year. I'm very excited by it.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of felt this less steam after that Riddler scene, to be honest with you.
Well, because it's definitely the exact
because
same...
Because it's been told before, right?
This is, I mean, we've been saying...
the same origin.
The last two stories, last two issues kind of surprised us because they're taking a pretty tired, overdone story, and they were kind of doing something we hadn't seen before with it, in a way. Well, they've stopped doing that, and they gave us a gorgeous-looking version of the story we've heard a million times before. Like, yes, I see, I shall become a bat and all that.
I'm
really
sure,
beautiful, but we've fucking seen
pretty
it
sure I saw that coming, though. Like,
yeah.
The whole time, the first two issues, I was like, oh, maybe they won't do that. But then,
well,
as soon as it happened, I was like...
We've all read Batman before.
Was that?
I said, I'd hope you saw it coming. We've read Batman.
No, I mean, but reading the first two, I was like, maybe they're just going to completely avoid it and be like, no, you've seen that before. But then as soon as it started, I was like, well, yeah, it's not like I'm surprised. I mean, it was inevitable.
I shall become
that.
You
kind of have to do that. Yeah. However, everything before that... Yeah, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything before that was excellent. The interaction with the Red Hood is actually really dark, and when he shoots
so much, they're trying to hint that it's the Riddler. It's the Joker. It's not going to be him.
Yeah,
it's
but they're hinting.
Didn't they hint that he's fighting the Joker? Isn't that what they were hinting earlier when they were entering, or they were hinting that they're dealing with another guy kind of like him? He's just like, no, it wouldn't be him. I don't know.
I think they've been hinting that it's both the Riddler and the Joker.
So either it probably will either be the Riddler or somebody we haven't...
Mr. Freeze.
I think it'll be someone we're not... I'm going to guess that it's someone we're not expecting, just because I don't think Snyder's that obvious. I'd like to think that he's not. I know, I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm just saying that I'm pretty sure that, like, I didn't see who the Court of the Owls guy was going to be. Like, that was actually a really cool revelation. And it was obviously building up to something. But the sequence where, with the Here's to Symmetry sequence, where the Red Hood shoots a hole through Thomas and Martha Wayne's pictures in the picture. I loved that. That was my favorite page. That was really upsetting. It was like,
I think my favorite page was actually, like, in terms of the art, was the last couple, the one of Bruce opening, looking through like that window
in
the Batcave
page for sure,
and then also the last two pages, like just him sitting there and the silhouette of the bat flying. That's really good. I shall become a bat.
Yeah, that was.
But I mean, so yeah, again, gorgeously well done. A really well done, but nothing new under the sun. But the backup story was fun though. Bruce Wayne.
It was very cool.
That was
Raphael Albuquerque.
He's good.
Really great.
When I was thinking about, oh, it's a pit. I wonder if he's going to hang on a rope for a while and fix his back. As Batman is wont to do.
So, did we talk about all the Villains Month stuff last or 2 weeks ago?
Can we finish? Can we talk about the cover first and then talk about Villains Month?
Yeah.
The cover sucks yet again. 3 months in a row, we've had like the shittiest, most boring Batman covers.
I don't know what's up with these 0 Year covers. They're really
boring. I kind of get it. Like, they don't want to show him in costume because it's meant to be showing us his origin. Fine.
Can you show us something?
Seriously, show us something. And
not just lava.
The variant covers, like the Gary Frank cover this week, is great. But yeah. So the first one, just the word 0 Year, shit. Then lava, now a hand. I'm like, oh, fuck me, this is so shitty.
And then eventually it'll be lava on a hand with the word 0 Year.
And the idea that DC is putting out black and white variants in these covers, it's just like, shut
no,
the
when
fuck
they
up.
Put the black and white variant of the
21?
First issue of Death in the Family.
And it doesn't have, or of 21 was even worse,
21.
Because and Death in the Family, because it doesn't have the die cut.
Yeah.
It's just, so it's like you gave us a shittier version of the cover and charge $75 for it.
Yeah.
Or make the owner have to buy 75 cut, fuck you.
Yeah. It's super goofy.
Black and white variants are the worst.
Plus, talk
it's
about
weird because one. Yeah, the covers up until this point have been great.
Yeah, because like, you have one of the, you have a fantastic artist working on your book, but no, there's no need to fucking make him draw anything good on the cover.
I actually, I'm not, this isn't bothering me as much as it bothers.
Well,
me,
to be honest, I mean, it's not like anybody isn't picking the book up because the cover's not very good, but at the same time, that's really short-sighted because if you're just assuming that everyone is picking up the book anyway, that means that you're marketing your book directly to the direct market, which is a mistake.
It's bothering.
It's gonna you're gonna just hemorrhage readers.
Yeah. It actually bothers me as it does Joey, but like it bugs me because when Zero Year started the first one, I remember being like, "That's kind of a lame cover." And then I went back and I reread all of Court of the Owls, and then I have them in singles, and I'm going through all the I'm like these are fucking beautiful, intricate, complex covers and stuff. So
hey,
it's kind of weird.
A question for you.
I'm
going to ask you a question about Villains One.
Okay.
Because that's what you want to talk about next.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. I work for DC, let's say, and I want to advertise my
big
Villains Month event. Is Ocean Man or is Black Manta really the character that
Ocean
I'm like?
Ocean Man?
No, I was gonna say Ocean Master, but it's not. I was like, if I had to pick the character that I was gonna be like, yeah, I'm gonna sell Villains Month.
Ocean Master
I'm pick
is
Black
one of the
Manta.
Aquaman ones. Black Manta.
No, I know. But
oh,
like,
you
I'm
mean
the
this,
ad
this
here?
Ad.
The ad is of Black
well,
Manta.
Well, last like, month it was. I don't know who they were doing. I don't remember. Each
like
month
Dark
they're doing.
Side and the Joker.
Yeah, each month they're doing, or like in the ads, or each week. I mean, they're doing like this is the 0.2 week ad.
Right.
So the 0.1 week ad. I don't remember what it was. But it's exactly that. It's a weak ad. But, like, ultimately, I think their whole campaign in regards to the Villains Month is the biggest fuck you to retailers ever. That's going to be impossible to pull books for people. Because half of the books, like, I don't want all the Justice... I don't want any of the Justice League of America villains. But I would be getting four of them.
It'd be easy if your customers were like me, because I'm not getting a single one. I have an entire month off from DC Comics.
But I've, kind of nice. But I've got, like, 20, over 20 DC books.
Yeah.
And... I think pretty much most of the ones that have Villains Months, like not Teen Titans or because I'm not an idiot. So
you don't know that book. We haven't read it since it came out.
Scott Lobdell sucks.
I'm not saying it is.
I hate Scott Lobdell so much. He just ruins everything.
That Riddler cover is nice.
A lot of them are really nice. Mm-hmm. But like, there's a bunch that I have zero interest in. And like, I'm getting Justice League, but I don't really want the Lobo one written by like... Who gives a shit? And then there's like the Action Comics ones. I would like the Lex Luthor one, but I don't like Charles Soule. And there's just like random creative teams on them. Like, some of them are really interesting and really cool, and I'm definitely going to pick them up. But it's annoying because out of all the sorry to keep interrupting you, but out of all the Batman titles, there's four. I want two of them. So now
you're in a 23.
The retailer, exactly. I have 23.2 and 23.4, and now the retailer. So Chris at Off Comics has to put all of them in my file. And then send out a notice to all of his file holders being like, if there's some in your file that you don't want, like if you're following Batman, I'm going to put them all in there, but you don't have to buy them. But then I also feel like I'm slighting my retailer. I'm just like, oh, fuck, damn it. Like, and also, because I am like a fanboy, neurotic completionist, it is going to be annoying to flip through and see 23.2. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, that's stupid.
See, here's the thing. I am not even opposed to this concept. Like, I like the idea of one-shots about
losing
characters.
Yeah, I do, too.
But you know what? If they had just done it as Trigon number one instead of Teen Titans 23.1,
exactly.
I might even buy some of them.
Yeah.
But I refuse to buy these just because DC wants to have a fucking event every September so they can put out a hardcover.
Yeah.
So that USA Today will mention, hey, DC's publishing comics.
Yeah.
Like... Fuck that.
It's just such... It seems like such a half-baked idea. Like
and some of
them
seem
was
cool.
Really, oh, a lot of them seem really
but
cool.
But I'm not going to get any of them.
I'm getting all the ones that Greg Pak is writing. I'm getting... But then in other cases, they're throwing really amazing creators at just random books. Like Matt Kent is writing Deadshot, Harley Quinn, and Solomon Grundy. It's like, okay. And even in an interview, he was talking about what he's doing for the Villains Month, and he was like... They approached him saying, how did you get approached for these Villains Month's issues? Do you have any affinity for Harley Quinn or Solomon Grundy? And his response for like the Solomon Grundy was, no, I've never read one with Solomon Grundy. And my agent was like, do you want to write it? And I went, okay. So I did. And I went, oh, great. Well, what the
especially
fuck?
Like
what a waste of one of, the,
of Solomon Grundy.
Like, what a fucking waste of one of the best writers in comics. I mean...
It's just yet another weird move from DC.
It is really
weird. They do weird things. I mean, Marvel does weird things too, but DC is doing some weird things.
DC does more.
Did you guys look at any of the Dark Horse solicits?
Yeah, I looked at them all
today. I'm totally buying this book called Clown Fatale. Written by Victor Gishler. By Maurizio Rosenzweig, and there's a cover by Tim Seeley. But sexy female clowns are mistaken for contract killers and abandon their shabby traveling circus for a world of violence and cruelty with clown makeup. Sold. This book should just stamp on it, Dear Joey, kissy kissy.
Dear Joey, we like you.
Oh, and there's another Conan hardcover solicited.
Another Conan?
Conan the... Coco, I can't wait for Conan Volume 14 hardcover, because I've read all the way up to the end of 13 in singles, and I have all the hardcovers as well, but I stopped buying the singles because I get the hardcovers as well. Yeah. So then 14 will be stuff I can read that I haven't read yet.
14 has the stuff with Gian Felice in it, right?
I don't know.
That's the arc.
13, end of 13 is like the death arc when... When Bill
been two arcs since then.
I know.
The Woman on the Wall and then
The Nightmare of the Shallows.
The Nightmare of the Shallows, yeah. I think, was one of my favorites.
And there's a new book.
The Death was
What's the Legend? Oh, Legend of Conan is that movie, isn't it?
I guess. That
they're doing Legend of Conan. Yeah, they're doing a third Schwarzenegger Conan movie.
Is Schwarzenegger in it?
Yeah, he's playing. Yeah. I'm cool with it. It's going to suck. But if they did it like a King Conan story. I like those Conan movies. They're not really my Conan, but I just like Conan.
That seems like a stupid question, but I guess Schwarzenegger hasn't been a governor in years, hasn't he?
No.
No, not for a couple years. Even better news.
Because last I checked, he was still a governor, so I just haven't thought
about it. He's been in a few movies since then.
Better, eyes to meet you.
No, but after long last, I'm so glad Dark Horse has picked up the rights to the EC archives, so that series of archives I have is finally going to continue. Sweet. So Vault of Horror number 3, volume 3 is coming out. Oh, I'm so glad, because I love that series, and I was bummed that I collected them all, and I was never going to get to read them, because they were never going to finish. I mean, I wasn't going to get to read the rest.
Catch him, gotta catch him all. But
wait a second, they're relaunching Ghost again.
Dragon.
This is so weird.
It's an ongoing now.
Yeah, but it was an ongoing before, wasn't it?
No, it was a mini.
They announced it as a mini, and then they changed it to an ongoing.
Ghost?
Yeah.
No. Whatever. I don't remember that. I think they finished the mini, and then they said, it's going to be an ongoing now.
Yeah.
Is Kelly Sue DeConnick right
yep.
now?
Yeah. I'm really into these Grindhouse books.
It's not Phil Noto.
It's
someone
Chris
else.
Sabella. Really well, it's Ryan Sook.
Yeah, Ryan Sook, right.
He was doing the covers when Phil Noto was doing the interiors, I think.
I got the first, like, I got the 0 issue and then 1, 2, and then I never picked up 3 and 4, and I didn't really care.
Something even worse. I picked up every single one, and I read 0 and 1. And I have the rest of them sitting on my shelf, and I'm probably never going
to
read them.
In fairness, I have like a stack of books that I have to read. Including that Mind Management hardcover. I'm sorry.
I can't wait for
I didn't make it. It's okay.
And Kiss Me Satan. There's a lot of good stuff coming out from... Oh, Dark Horse. Monero Library Volume 6 solicited.
They haven't said whether or not... Oh, sorry.
Sucks. I have to spend too much money.
I was just going to say, this is like the first time I felt like a true comic book collector, because I have a stack of books that I have to read.
Yeah, I have not been caught up in years.
I haven't had that stack in a long time. This week is like the first time where I've had books in my... Like, where I can actually put them on a shelf and have them, like, more than one book that I need to read.
Yeah.
Just because everything I own is packed up in boxes up in Joey's spare bedroom for next week when I finally get to move out. But, I mean, all the comics that I have... Living where I'm living right now, just like in the halfway point, I've got all the comics that I've been collecting. Yeah, I'm in a halfway house. And all the comics that I've been collecting since the beginning of July, and that's it. And then like some trades. But I've already read through all the trades, except for Kabuki, because I'm saving it for this weekend, I think.
They're doing a new Sledgehammer 44 miniseries. I liked the first one.
You did?
I did.
Yeah, cool. Joey. Hey, so you didn't read this book, but we're going to talk about it.
Go ahead.
Yay. And it's East of West number 5 by Jonathan Hickman, Nick Dragotta, and Frank Martin does the colors. The color work in this, by the way, is really,
really
solid.
Good colors.
Really good. Especially during flashback scenes and stuff like that. How it's hazy almost. It's just really brilliantly done.
I love the evil Colonel, whatever.
Sanders?
Sanders area.
Yeah. This had my favorite moment in the series. And also it had a moment that I think will, like, people who've hung on this long, because I know a lot of the complaints were it was like 100% world building and it wasn't really a lot of character development. This one was almost 100% character development of Death and his wife and what he's chasing and who she is. So I really like that development. The constant world building in the first 4 issues, well, the 4th issue is like an explosion of violence and fighting, which was awesome. The first 3 issues... I didn't mind that it was all world building, because it's such an interesting universe that he's concocted. So I'm very, very glad and excited that he, you know, went to all this great, great, vivid detail to really set the stage. this one specifically was really interesting to read because, again, of that dynamic between Death and his wife. But my favorite part is the revelation of the beast of the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And plus, the machine that he's hooked up to is probably the most badass thing Nick Dragotta has ever drawn. Mm-hmm. It's so creepy. It's, like, frightening. It's upsetting. It's just badass. Like, it's such an interesting concept. It's very Philip K. Dick. And it also reveals a lot of the sinister nature of, like, evil Colonel Sanders, and who we know has a real name, but I forget it. And
Chamberlain.
And the other cowboy guy who's talking to him the whole time. I forget everyone's names all the time. I'm reading too many comics.
Everything that Chamberlain is in, every scene that he's in this book has been vastly better for me than anything else, really.
Yeah, you like
it. I feel like the entire storytelling process has been very clunky. And, like, I don't like this. We'll do an entire issue on making you understand these characters. Then we'll do an entire issue on building this world up more. Like, just, nothing meshes they're trying to.
I can see that in a single issue.
The first three issues that I read, I thought that the book is really good and gorgeous, but it was not hooking me even remotely. Like, I didn't feel any... Like, the fact that I have two unread issues is weird. Like, it just means that I have had no real desperation or desire to get back to it. I mean, I'm glad to hear that it's getting to be... It doesn't suck me in. It hasn't pulled me in, is what I'm trying to say.
That's weird.
I'm having a Ryan moment.
I get it. A lot of other people have been thinking the same. However, I've been completely... Like, the first issue, I was completely hooked, and I was convinced it was going to be, like, this year's saga. Like, it was a big deal. But clearly, I was wrong.
The first issue was fantastic.
Yeah, the next two issues, I was still on board, but I can see where people would kind of lost the plot. But by issue four, like, I think issue four is kind of the turning point in regards to getting you hooked, because it's definitely all action. And then this one is, I think, another turning point in the sense of it's actually giving you some real in-depth character development. But when you look at the dynamic of Manhattan Projects, it's kind of the same, right? Like, each issue is kind of about a different
But it also feels more like a complete story.
Does it, though? Yeah. Like, each one kind of seems more epic.
It feels like more of an actual chapter. This kind of feels like a snap. Those ones feel like I read a sixth of a trade, whereas Manhattan Projects feels like I read a full comic.
Yeah, that's fair, actually. I'm trying to defend it because I like it more than you.
You don't have to defend it because I'm not saying it's a bad comic. I think it's a really good comic. It just hasn't grabbed me yet. I'm sure it will, and if nothing else, even if it wasn't grabbing me at all and I didn't like it very much, the art is spectacular, and I have so much goodwill built up for Hickman and know that his stuff always pays off at the end. Sometimes it takes a long time, but it always comes together because he, more so than any other writer in mainstream comics, plays the long game.
Pax Romana.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, like, exactly, but I'm thinking like his Fantastic Four run, which is great all the way through, but it's really only spectacular when viewed as a whole. When you actually look at the whole run and go, wow.
Yeah,
you know, and like, if you read it when you were reading it month to month, like I was, a lot of the time it was really good, but that's why I would leave that one to pile up. I'd wait and read it like six issues at a time because it read better that way.
Yeah. I think I'm going to read it, this book particularly. I know I'll reread it.
Yeah.
What's out now, and I know I'll like it even more. I don't know. I'm super, super enthusiastic just about everything Hickman. I know it's hyperbolic when I talk about him.
Dude,
everything he writes, I'm just like, he's so fucking good.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Like, I think he's a genius. So.
I'm the same with Fraction, and I'm not absolutely crazy about Satellite Sam.
Really?
I like it a lot. I like
it's
it a
like
lot.
It's like Mad Men with TV and kick-ass porno stuff and Star Trek.
I like it a lot, but I think it's not close to Hawkeye.
It's way better than Hawkeye, but Hawkeye's really good. Did you guys see that there's another X-Men ongoing being started?
What, really?
Amazing X-Men?
Who's doing that?
Jason Aaron and Ed McGuinness, and the whole premise, it sounds like Wolverine, Storm, Beast, Iceman, Northstar, and Firestar go to find Nightcrawler, because apparently he's not really dead.
Thanks, Bendis, for reviving the whole X line and having thousands of books out of that.
It's not like there weren't that many X-Men
I'm reading X books now. I never really used to. The only X book I was on,
that might be the one I pick up because Jason Aaron and Ed fucking McGuinness.
I will. I mean, the only one that I'm interested in is X-Men. I will read the Bendis ones eventually, but I'll read them in hardcover. But the Brian Wood one I actually think I'd like.
That was the one that I was reading before Bendis took over a lot of the X. That was the only X-Men book I was reading before Bendis took over, was the Brian Wood stuff, which I thought was brilliant and everyone apparently didn't like online. And now...
What, the Bendis stuff?
No, the Brian Wood stuff. When he first took over.
Oh, I
remember. Before Marvel Now. Yeah. I loved that stuff. I thought it was great.
They were pretty good.
But now, like, the X-Men line of books is huge again. It's like the forefront of everything. But let's talk about the ads in the back of this.
Sex Criminals sold.
Sex Criminals has been sold.
In a second. Velvet.
Sex Criminals has been getting the most ridiculous amount of positive, like, publicity.
I've been hearing that,
Sex Criminals.
Oh, Sex Criminals? It looks so good.
So many people are like, holy fuck, Matt Fraction is writing his Opus right now. Like, it's...
I hope so. It looks really fun. And Velvet.
Velvet
is my favorite.
Probably the most excited... for upcoming books.
Did you guys see the preview pages?
Yes.
Yeah.
Holy,
they're in the back.
It looks so good.
Yeah, they were in the back of Ghosted this week as well.
Because I just finished reading all the Winter Soldier finally, because I got that Omnibus, the third Omnibus. Oh my god, Ed Brubaker and Steve Epting together are just unbelievable.
That ad, like, I'm assuming that's the cover, is the coolest. It's like a movie poster.
Yeah, it is. It's so
and that
good.
Like that trailer thing, the preview they did was like the coolest.
And to have more Brubaker in comics is really exciting.
Yeah.
It's funny to say that because, like, it's only been like maybe a year since he hasn't really been writing everything.
He just writes Fatale.
Now he's just now it's just Fatale. So I get one Brubaker book a month. I used to get like three or four. Mm-hmm. And I'm also definitely getting... Is this an OGN, this Howard Chaykin Century West thing? Do you know?
Yes, I believe it is. It's like a... I think it's like a 96-pager one-shot from Image.
I'm picking that up. Are you going to get Pretty Deadly, too? The Kelly's
yep.
comic
book?
I am so excited for that book.
Really good.
Plus, she's really cute. Anyway.
Who is?
Kelly Sue DeConnick.
I agree.
She's pretty adorable.
She's very cute.
She's married to Matt Fraction, so...
Yeah.
I'm jealous of her.
And their children, also.
You're funny.
I fucking bend at the knee for Fraction. That's,
oh, yeah?
You bend at both.
You bend at the knee?
Proposed to Matt Fraction? What does he say? What does he say?
It's 2013, man. It's not gay.
He just tells you what year it is?
We're not suggesting it was gay. We just think it's...
Yeah. Like, well, he just tells you what year it is?
No, what is
like, will you marry me? It's 2013.
I tuned everything out there for a second because I was like, would I? But...
Would you blow that Fraction?
I don't think I would just because I'm like straight. But.
Well, I'm glad we have
as long as you say that quietly. Okay,
we're not even talking about my dick this week. It's
my
dick.
Matt Fraction's
dick.
All right, brother.
Talk
hit
about
it.
A book here.
Do it. Do that voodoo that you do so well.
I'm the only one who...
Look at this. He does the button up all the way to the top.
I don't do that.
He looks professional, eh?
That's how you get it. That's how you bag a lady. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm. Have you bagged any... Have you put any women in bags?
That's not what that means.
Oh. Yes. Well, I bought the most,
like, 2010 hardcore kid getup the other day. It's, like, a brand new Seattle Mariners hat and then, like, a plaid shirt, and I have camo Vans. But they're sweet, so I was with...
Oh, all right, as long as they're sweet.
I was with a friend, cakes, and he was just like, dude, you have to get these, and otherwise I would have been like, I should get those. Nah, they're silly. But then he was there, and I was like, yeah, I gotta get them.
This is what's funny, is like, when you say, I was with a friend, cakes, you say cakes to me, I know what you're talking about. To anyone listening, they just think you had some seizure, and all of a sudden you're just yelling what you wanted to be eating.
I have Tourette's
muffins. Oh my god,
just
the other day I was driving,
only for
I was
baked
big
goods.
Fan of desserts. Yeah. I was driving my car the other day, it was really funny. Raspberries, and I stopped.
Drive your car.
Oh,
whoa!
That's good.
Whoa.
Lisa Robin Kelly, dead at 43.
Yeah, you didn't hear about that?
Who's that?
She played Eric's sister on That 70s Show.
She's had like a crazy...
I knew she was a drug addict.
I heard that, yeah, I knew she was fucked up, but...
When you were talking about the war on drugs and you were talking about meth, I was going to be like, speaking of meth.
I guess she died in a rehab facility.
Yeah, she had just checked into rehab and died in her sleep. She's only 43.
No,
I'm shocked she's
43. That's how I will always remember the birth of our friend Scott's child.
When
Flynn
one
Jackson PI.
Good God. They show like
ushers in the death of the girl from the 70s show.
I hate myself for being on TMZ right now, but this timeline of what she looks like. And like
yeah, she looks like hell.
She looks like she's been through some shit.
Like Charlize Theron in Monster. Is what I mean.
She went
not
through
like
some shit.
That would have been...
So that's a bummer. I always thought she was really funny on.
I really liked that show.
Yeah, I also this was a while ago, but Dennis Farina died, and that really bummed me out.
Yeah,
who's that? Dennis Farina.
Dennis Farina.
Oh yeah, he was cool.
Bobo's dead. Remember when he was in Get Shorty's?
And when he was in Big Trouble.
I absolutely love Dennis Farina and everything he ever did. He was so good.
My favorite Dennis
Farina. Oh, and he was also in Snatch, right?
My favorite Dennis Farina was Snatch.
Snatch!
But he was Ray Barboni.
Snatch!
What movie is it where he's like, idiot number one, put idiot number two on the phone? I can't do a Dennis Farina voice. I'm gonna try. But it's in a movie and it's really funny.
Isn't that Snatch?
No, it's not Snatch.
Maybe it's Get Shorty then. I don't know. Either way, it's great.
Is it one of the three movies that we've mentioned?
I like it. It was a movie where
he played like a mob boss kind of deal.
What? What's happening? Why are you pointing
at it? Right? No.
Oh, he's got foam coming out of his beer and we're all pointing at it for some reason.
I'm pointing at it. Ryan pointed too.
Slowly
jizzing.
That's really great. Thanks for bringing that. That's really charming. Thanks, Ryan.
Are you going to talk about
this book
with Ryan Philippe on the front cover?
Weird, yeah. It is definitely Ryan Philippe.
He was in that one movie I liked called Antitrust, but I can't say for sure if it's good because...
Oh, Antitrust and Uncle Sad.
That's the thing. I can't really say for sure if it's good because I liked it when I was like 16. Claire Forlani is in it, though. The only two movies I can ever remember seeing Claire Forlani in are Mallrats and Antitrust. Which one's Claire Forlani? She was the one who played Brandy on Mallrats.
Like the charm girl? Oh my god,
it's Brandy. No, that's... No, no, no.
The girl at the start.
That's Shannon Doherty.
What's his name's girlfriend?
The girl wears the stupid gray shirt that shows her belly and it's weird in the 90s. In the beginning of Mallrats. Oh, shit, yes.
No! What? You sound like you're doing Joy Lauren Adams right now.
I'm doing Joy Lauren Adams.
Claire Forlani is T.S.'s girlfriend.
Yeah, that's what I was saying at the very beginning.
Why did you do Joy Lauren Adams' voice?
I thought I was pretty, you know.
It got back to my father.
Kind of detailed.
Shit, T.S., she's really pissed at you.
You sound like a man trying to do Claire Forlani's voice. That's good.
Well, I am.
Yeah, you sound exactly like what you are. You sound like a late 20s-year-old man with a beard. You sound like somebody we know just speaking.
We're going away from this bit. Someone on Twitter that we know just tweeted, "Does Netflix ever work?" And I responded, "Yes." It's even funnier because it's Selena. It's your girlfriend. Does Netflix ever work? Yes, it does.
Often, in fact.
Quite often. I watch things on it often. Anyway, you were going to talk about a comic book like 20 minutes ago.
I'm going to talk about a book here. Half Past Danger, issue 4. Shockingly not my favorite for the fourth consecutive week.
That is shocking.
Created, written, and drawn by Stephen Mooney with colors by Jordi Belair. It was an awesome colors. And then I have the subscription variant, by the way, by Nick Rung.
Oh yeah.
And it's really cool. I've gotten, I think, three of the four subscription variants are cool.
So you probably think you're pretty hot shit.
Yeah, I fucking do.
Okay.
Anyway, we get that train chase that we were promised at the end of the last issue.
We all love a good train chase.
Oh yes, there's ninjas decapitating Nazis inside of a like machine gun thing here.
All good things.
And just a head flying off the train. And this is all happening on top of a train, by the way.
Good.
Just this ninja beating up people.
Like the only good scene in Skyfall.
I never saw that.
The fight scene on the train. The whole first 10 minutes is good.
I've heard that the fight scene on the train in Wolverine is really good. I want to see that.
I don't really want to see it, but I heard it is good.
The more I saw a trailer, the more I wanted to. Anyways, we get the Captain America trope actually using a door as a shield, which is kind of funny to me. And then something happens to him. It's bad. And get some more dinosaur action, and the main character, whose name I will never remember, but he's Irish guy, and they call him Irish.
Probably Seamus.
Seamus
O'Hara. Oh, Seamus O'Irish.
Irish.
A little Easter egg if you listen to Pride of the Creature.
Irish. He says a lot
Seamus O'Irish is in the house again, laddie boy.
He says a lot of, like, "You're a son of a bitch," and he goes after them.
"You're a wee son of a bitch, lad, you're, my boys, it's just hot in here." I sound like Mrs. Doubtfire when I do that.
Anyways, he fights dinosaurs at the end. It's cool.
Good.
And then
I like that happened.
There's a cliffhanger that involves a dinosaur.
Oh my god!
I'm pretty sure that's the exact same cliffhanger that they use, I think, in issue two, one or two. But
the only cliffhangers I enjoy are the ones with Sylvester Stallone up here
and John Lithgow.
Yes, he was the bad guy.
Down here, mid range. All right.
But anyways, it's just such a great, like, fun, pulpy adventure story with Nazis and dinosaurs.
Right on.
I'm going to combine those two things.
Oh, IDW prints are very nice.
I'm
going to
talk about two different comics, one about Nazis and one about pulpy adventure. So let's start with Nazis, shall we? Breath of Bones, A Tale of the Gotham. you maybe say Gotham, Breath of Bones, A Tale of the Golem, number 3, Steve Niles, Dave Wachter.
My precious.
Dave Wachter, I mean, I've known about Dave Wachter for years. I've seen a lot of his art. He is something else in this book.
What did Dave do? Did he whack her?
Yeah, good one.
No, that was Steven.
I used to listen to Comic Geek Speak a lot, the comic podcast. I quit listening around in episode like 250, I think, because it got pretty bad.
Because of jokes like what I just did?
No.
Bad puns?
No, that was better. But anyway, my point is, they often talked about him, and he was like a person that was part of the community for that show. Dave Wachter's art in this book reminds me of really, really good Joe Kubert war comics.
Sweet.
So that's a pretty high compliment, I would think. So this issue is basically the boy. I've talked about it in the past issues, but they've created this golem, and he's going to save this town of Jews from this Nazi group that came to find this crashed American pilot that they hid in their barn. Anyway, it was totally awesome and just a really beautiful story and a really beautiful comic. And just look at the art of this book and jizz everywhere, but not on the book, because then it won't be near mint.
Do the two things have to be related, or like, can I read the book and then just jizz everywhere, like later?
This is the little boy.
You don't mind? All right,
that's the little boy. Yeah,
he looked exactly like young Captain America.
Don't jizz on that,
the page. John Romita, Rick Remender, Captain America stuff.
Oh yeah, I guess.
Let me see.
I mean, I think that's probably because
Totally.
John Romita is probably trying to draw like the image from millions of 1940s mm-hmm. films of like young Polish Jewish boys.
Yeah,
and they all kind of have suspenders. Pardon me. So while you boys are drooling over that, mm-hmm. let's move on to pulpy fun. Red Sonja number 2, Gail Simone, Walter Giovanni. Now, I liked issue 1. In fact, issue 1 was my pick, I believe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Issue 2 is even better. In fact, it's way better.
Is it your double pick then? Are you picking it twice?
It's way better. Like the first, a lot of the issue is Red Sonja's fight with this character, Dark Anissa, that she's created as sort of like an antithesis to Red Sonja. She's a really interesting character. She's really cool. And she gives her a lot of. I really need background of because Red Sonja and Dark Anissa were sort of trapped in this pit together, and they were going to have to fight to kill their way out, basically. And so Dark Anissa is haunted by all the people that they kill to escape, and so she has kind of lost her mind, and she sees ghosts, all these people, like the souls of the dead, the sorrowful ghosts of the slaves we killed. Can you not hear their endless grief and hate? Anissa, sister, there is naught but air around you. Liar! We killed them all. They yearn for death in spite. Anyway, it's really good, and I really like this artist, Walter Giovanni.
Walter Giovanni.
And it kind of sets... And I also like that this issue kind of sets up another story. Like, it's pretty much... This storyline's more or less done, and Red Sonja's been exiled now. Or banished, rather. So now she's going to... You know, she's got, like, furs on and whatnot. She's up in the snow with a horse. It's going to be great. I'm really enjoying it.
Do you want to hear an awesome joke?
Okay. Yes.
Who would have known that now he'd be drawing Red Sonja when he grew up being the secret leader of Team Rocket and the main boss of the 8th gym?
Walter Giovanni?
Because Giovanni was the 8th leader of the gym in Pokemon.
Yeah. You realize that I played Pokemon 1 when I was in grade 4, yes?
Then why didn't you get it?
Because I was in grade 4, like, I don't know, 18 years ago.
How many times?
Grade 4?
Yeah.
Just the one.
Only one time.
I got my grade 10.
First all the way.
My family to get my grade 10.
Look at you.
Yeah, I self-learned myself.
Good job, man.
Really? I have like my high school diploma and I'm way down.
Oh, you fucking think you're fucking pretty great, eh? Well, fucking sometimes it's fucking hard for me to make... I can't talk my thoughts.
You caught Ryan.
No, I'm doing the trailer park.
Are you saying,
never mind,
Ryan is in like...
Rob's sitting there going, he's doing Trailer Park Boys. And
yeah. Are you? I thought you were saying like Ryan is in like it's a disease or
yeah.
illness.
You caught I thought you were talking about Pokemon. You caught Ryan, level 1.
You caught a Ryan.
It's evolving.
Oh no, it's evolving.
Ryan is evolving into Dickhead.
And then I'm like, Dickhead uses Splash.
Gross.
Anyway,
I'm gonna talk about two books too. I'm gonna take this time to talk about two books, baby girl, because I know that neither of you were reading them. Okay,
don't call me baby girl.
So both of these books had some of the best art of the week for me. I thought anyway. The first one is Peter Panzerfaust number 13 by Curtis J. Weeb and Tyler Jenkins, and that airplane.
Doesn't it sound like it's really low?
Yeah.
Like, we're in my kitchen.
Oh, wait till you're back
die.
Hello,
they were just agreeing.
My backyard is really small.
Yeah. So this is getting towards the tail end of
this third arc here, I think, or about the halfway point about the Felix stuff. Ultimately, this whole arc has been, I think, the best vehicle for Jenkins' art. He's really expanding his style. He's doing a lot of double page spreads. He's doing really beautiful full pages with scattered sort of panels all across them that just look gorgeous. It's also like looking almost painted, almost like he's doing it in pastel. It's, I mean, he really, really grows with each issue. He goes from being already an astounding illustrator to one of my absolute favorites. The action and the pacing of this book is spectacular. Curtis Weeb really, really writes to the strengths of a guy like Jenkins for a book like this, and it's always an exciting book. The characterizations of everybody in it is you know, breathtaking. It's an excellent, excellent series. I'm really glad that it's doing as well as it is, and it's going to continue going on. When it was only solicited as like a 6-issue miniseries when it came out, but I'm really glad it's doing that, doing as well as it is. Doing well enough that Jenkins or Weeb, BBC picked it up, and Weeb can now do Rat Queens and actually solicit it as a big new ongoing. Did you read the preview pages for Rat Queens?
I don't read preview pages, even for Velvet. I just look at the pictures. I don't want to be spoiled at all. I'm going to buy it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, if I was on the fence, I'd read it. Same reason I don't, like, watch a lot of trailers. And if I know I want to see the movie, I don't bother.
It's seriously, I think it'll be Ryan's favorite book of all time.
Yeah, I'm definitely buying it.
It's seriously, like, just reading the preview pages, it reminds me of, like, if you were just in a World of Warcraft bazaar, and then a bunch of, like, crazy elves came and caused shit because, I don't know, it seems really fun. I can't wait.
I would fire.
Do you still play that game?
No, I haven't in a while.
No. But anyway, it looks spectacular. The other issue that I was going to talk about is the X-Files Season 10 Issue 3, which... story-wise is good. I like Joe Harris. I think he's got a good handle on what characters to kind of throw in each issue. Each issue has a new sort of, oh, sweet, it's that character. You know, last one was John Doggett in the last issue. The first issue, obviously, was when Skinner shows up. You obviously knew that Mulder and Scully were going to be there, but there's always little, like, teasers and Easter eggs and stuff that are kind of fun. This one was the two girls that were in season 9 that were so lame that I don't even remember their names. I think it was them anyway. No, it wasn't even them. Fuck that. It was the Smoking Man was who I was talking about. And with the reveal of the Smoking Man integrated into the story, it's super... It was really exciting for an X-File like myself. Anyway, there's also a last page that is kind of a boner page for anyone who's obsessed with the X-Files. Story-wise, it's really... I'm going to have to read it as, like, a whole. Because, again, I'm reading so many books. Some single issues kind of take a backseat for my memory of, like, knowing exactly where they are now. That happens to you guys. Like, I have some books where I'm like, okay, I don't remember what happened last time. Trying to remember. And then usually in this book, I get to about the second page and I'm like, I don't really care. I'll read it when it all comes out in 5. And for now, I'll just kind of burn through it and enjoy it. And
You know what's huge for that for me?
What?
Fatal.
Yep, me too.
I always go to flip it on and I'm like, what the fuck happened in the last issue? And then I get like 2 pages in and I'm like, right!
Yeah. For some reason, I kind of blank with that book.
Some of the other ones do that, like... have shitty release schedules and they come out like every like 3 months. Yeah.
Uncanny Avengers does that for me. And I really like that book, but
it's a heavy book though.
Yeah, too. I'm really glad there's the previously on page because otherwise I'd be 100% lost. Yeah. And it's not even a testament to the quality of the book. It's just more like some take a back seat in my memory for like what's at the forefront of my mind, remembering exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. But ultimately he's writing a really cool action-packed X-Files, like an X-Files that wouldn't have been able to be filmed. Kind of like how Buffy season 9 or 8 or whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. Kind of like how that worked, because once they got into the comic book realm, you know, obviously they have an unlimited budget, so you can draw whatever the fuck you can think of. Mm-hmm. You can't film whatever you can think of, obviously.
It's like Batman 66.
Yeah. Well, like there's pages with crazy cultists doing magic and actually like burning alive and doing these really crazy action sequences that they would never have had the budget to film that, like in the movies maybe, but not on the show. So it's a cool dynamic to have it in the comics. The best part about this book by far is Michael Walsh. Michael Walsh from what I was first exposed to through just Tiger Lawyer. And then Ryan Ferrier's Tiger Lawyer. Name fucking drop it. And then Comeback, which was awesome. The first Ed Brisson. Comcab. Which was really good. And he's getting so much better now. He's on a really high profile book like this. And his artwork is absolutely spectacular. Like, it's the best that I've seen of him. This issue particularly is by far the best Michael Walsh I've seen so far. His illustrations of the Smoking Man are perfect. He gets the likeness of the Smoking Man and all the mannerisms down to a T. It's so interesting to look at that. And it's also just kind of cool and exciting. Again, yeah. Michael Walsh's work in the X-Files makes it worth following.
I really like that artwork. Unfortunately, yeah, I've never watched an episode of the X-Files. So.
Yeah, if you've never seen any episode of the X-Files, then this will make no sense. If you've seen at least a couple, then
there's a guy and a girl, and I don't think they fuck, but there's ghosts or something and aliens, right?
Yep. You got it. Story-wise, every single main story beat would be completely lost on you if you haven't seen all the show. But, you know, it really doesn't matter. In regards to continuity with the show, it doesn't fucking matter. I mean, I can totally tell that in this book, Joe Harris is just kind of trying to write a cool X-Files story that doesn't really tie in or expand. Or if it does, like, loosely, it doesn't really matter. Anyway, I talked too long about those two books.
How many seasons of Medium were there?
What the hell is that?
Is that Patricia There's a medium Arquette amount. Show where she talks to ghosts?
Four. A medium amount?
Four.
Bet you it was more than that. Seven.
Holy fuck.
I watched a couple episodes. It's shit. Nicole's mom and her used to watch it, and I always hated it.
I never even heard of that.
Really? Yeah, she talked to ghosts. But she wasn't a ghost.
What did they say?
They were just like, someone killed me. Fucking dick. Fix that.
That sounds like the Miles episode of Lost.
The Miles episode? Someone oh, that was so me. Dumb. With what the fuck happened to that plot point,
Dean
by
Norris
the way?
Is in that one episode, by the way, which is weird.
Like, again, another reason to rant about Lost. That was totally fucking abandoned, wasn't it? Oh, we can talk to dead people. What does that have to do with anything? Nothing. By about season 5, we'll forget about it anyway. What the okay.
Which is funny, because they also introduced it in season 5, I think. So it's like, let's introduce it, and then...
So goofy. Anyway,
you guys remember the awesome name that Gary Oldman had for his character in True Romance?
Drexel.
Drexel Spivey. Yeah, isn't that an awesome name?
It sounds like something that would be an ingredient in a shampoo.
Remember Drexel how, Spivey? How fantastic that movie is, especially the Christopher Walken, Dennis Hopper scene, and how amazing.
Yeah,
I've never seen that True Romance.
Really, it's real. It used to be my favorite Quentin Tarantino movie because he wrote it, but what? I mean, it's not my favorite in all
Tony
of them,
Scott?
But it is really good.
Yeah,
it's directed by Tony Scott, yeah.
It's awesome.
Tony Scott directed 2 screenplays that Quentin wrote.
I don't think I've ever seen a Tony Scott movie.
Top Gun.
Okay. I've seen Top Gun. I've seen American Gangster. Did you do that?
No, that's really Scott.
Okay. Well, then I think that's it.
I'm sure you have.
Top Gun.
Haven't you seen Beverly Hills Cop 3?
No.
Really?
I saw Beverly Hills Cop 1.
That's the best one.
He's
directed a lot of movies. I'm sure you've seen more than
that. It would behoove you to see True Romance.
Yeah, True Romance is great.
It's got such an awesome cast.
Beverly Hills Cop 2, excuse me, not 3.
I've seen 2, I think.
You've seen True... Oh, you, let's see. Enemy of the State, you saw that with
me. Yes, that was that the Will Smith, Gene Hackman?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
With Jason Lee at the beginning.
He also made Domino, which was bad. And then he made a remake of Taking a Pelham 1, 2, 3, which I enjoyed, but not as much as the original.
James Gandolfini.
And then the last movie, 1, 2, 3, no, that had John Travolta and... And then his last film before he died was Unstoppable, which was actually surprisingly good. The Trainer.
I never saw that. It was quite
Chris Pine and Denzel Washington, and eventually they managed to stop it, but for a long time it looked like it was going to be unstoppable.
Holy shit.
What's his name's in at the start of it? The big guy from My Name is Earl.
Unstartable.
Ethan Suplee.
Yes, there we go.
He's
in Mulcahy.
That seems like a really
He was also in Evolution.
Ethan Suplee, yeah.
But you know who's in True Romance?
Yes.
Michael Rapaport. Who just loves, like, 90s New York hardcore.
Isn't he super, like, white and ginger? And he was on Friends for a bit?
He probably was.
Like, he shot the bird. Comic run while I look it up.
I'm going to talk...
Oh, he's the guy who shot the bird?
I think I know.
Right.
he's got a right.
We can't.
He's the cop who shoots a bird. Yeah, that was actually... He's got what happened? He shot a bird.
Mm-hmm. Since you guys talked about 2 books, I'm fucking doing it, too.
Do it.
I'm going to talk about, quickly, Star Wars Issue 8 from Brian Wood with art by Ryan Kelly, who I like more than Carl Sandiego now. Ryan, you've never read Ryan Kelly books before? Oh. Ryan Kelly just had his house broken into. He was in the middle of a vacation, and his house was broken into, and all of his shit was stolen, and the house was almost set on fire.
Really?
Doesn't that suck? Because he's one of my favorite artists, and he's one of my favorite collaborators.
He wasn't one of our favorite
artists. Yeah, yeah.
But still.
No, I don't like him, and I'm glad he lost everything.
It also sucks. He's our favorite artist, and that sucks independently of our life.
Yeah, exactly. He's one of my favorite collaborators with Brian Wood. He was on Northlanders.
Why do you let Ryan talk?
Okay, I'm going to let Ryan talk. He also was a part.
I'm going to get some juice for
him. He invented the moon.
What?
He invented the moon.
I got this great idea, guys, okay? Look up. Notice how it's really dark right now? Okay, imagine.
You know all those satellites we have up there?
Yeah.
Let's put a really big one up.
Yeah.
What are we making out of? The moon?
Oh my god. we should use parts of the moon rock.
And then later I'll draw Star Wars.
Oh my god. And then Pink Floyd, we should go back in time and give them an idea for an album title.
I thought that was based on the Transformers movie.
But oh yeah. Back in time to
Revenge of the Fallen.
Back in time to when. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, sorry, were you talking about Shia LaBeouf? What were you talking about?
Star Wars Issue 8 from Brian Wood.
I would like to pour an entire jar of salsa into Shia LaBeouf's eyes. That is what I would like to do.
You can't think of anything more painful.
Spicy
than salsa.
Mexican salsa.
You know what I would like to do? Than salsa?
It's also with corn in it.
You know what I would like to do? Talk about my book.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's not your book. It's Ryan Kelly's book.
No, my book,
by the way, just had his house broken into.
You're kidding.
That sucks for him. Anyways, He draws all the spaceships and stuff and with such an incredible detail.
I wish that was your whole sentence. Well, I just want to talk about this book. He draws all the spaceships and stuff. Moving on.
But he draws Boba Fett so cool, and Slave One looks awesome.
Yeah.
You just hear Boba Fett got his ship broken into?
No. Darth Vader, I will say Darth Vader looks a little funny. His eyes
Darth
look
Vader
a
is my googly. Favorite collaborator with Brian Wood.
Really? Did you hear he broke into Boba Fett's house?
Yeah.
Fuck you guys, it was good. There's a
lightsaber. No, talk about your book.
No, it's good and there was a lightsaber. That's all I have to do. And a lot of cliffhangers.
Did you hear that Star Wars broke into Ryan's house?
Don't be ridiculous. This bit is done, Joey. Did you hear that bit broke into your house?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Did you know that Ryan Kelly wrote this whole exchange we just did?
I know, he's a genius. He's very, very clever. You know who else's name is Ryan?
Home Invasionception.
What other book were you going to talk about?
Fuck you guys. Now who's the dickhead? Anyways, yeah, Star Wars.
This week on Geek Stampede, Ryan reads comic Inception!
The other book that I read quickly, Deadpool issue 14 from Brian Posehn, Jerry Duggan, and Adam Koblish. And Val Staples.
Oh, Scott Koblish, actually.
Scott Koblish.
Sorry,
why do I always say Adam?
I don't know. But Adam I know Koblish Scott Koblish person? From, like, Flash stuff.
He does
rogue shit.
Stuff too.
He did those like the lost issues of Deadpool, the retro ones, which were like fucking just fantastic. And this is his first that's like set in the present day, although it's a continuation of the 70s story, where the villain is this guy called the White Man, who's a pimp. And there's plenty of "we gotta fight the White Man" jokes.
Do especially they stick it to the White Man?
Oh, they stick it to the White Man. You know who does? Luke Cage.
Right.
There's also this one panel here with Luke Cage freaking out because at one point the news says that him and Deadpool were partners. They say that Deadpool was one of the heroes for hire. But anyway, it's a jam-packed issue. It feels like a Mad Magazine like comic book.
Is there a folder?
No. That's the only thing. But like, it's just so jam-packed and everything is so like everybody's so expressive and it's colorful and it's fun and it, like this entire run on Deadpool, there's a joke in every panel. Some of them miss, a lot of them hit though. Like it's a very fun, funny book, especially with like a lot of these. There's like a lot of little details in all the panels and stuff. It's just such a cool book, and I wish that Scott Koblish was doing this book all the time.
Is he not? Is he not the new?
I can't remember. No, he's just kind of like fills in.
Well, motherfuck.
I don't even know who's back for the next one.
Yeah, Rob, stick it to the White Man.
But yeah, my favorite thing is that at the end the White Man gets defeated by getting kicked in the nuts while he's being turned into stone, and then he gets sent into the ocean like with his hands on his nuts. Oh, he gets beat up by little kids too.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
And then
kicking the white man right in the cojones.
And then it finishes off a million years into the future when these aliens unearth them and put him in a zoo as a caveman. And they're like, so that's why humans went extinct, because they're all stupid. It's really funny. And then we actually get a little bit of story continuation at the very end of, like, what's happening.
And then we finally get some story.
But, yeah, just, like, it's a fun, fun book. I like this book.
I like fun.
Awesome.
Like I said, there's more hits than miss with jokes, and for $3, I mean, that's
sold.
Fine.
Except it's not, because I'm not buying it, but that's fair. It looks pretty good.
I don't know if I just found this out, but Jerry Duggan and Brian Posehn wrote a book about, like, Santa, and Rick Remender does some of the art for it.
It's called The Last Christmas.
The Last Christmas.
Rick Remender wrote it with them as well.
I think Image is re-releasing.
It was like a one-shot, mm-hmm. right, or like a three-issue miniseries, yeah. I think. Yeah,
they're re-releasing it right away here.
It's funny.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's very funny. It came out, mm-hmm. I think, around... I remember I bought it the same time I bought Battle Pope.
Oh, wow. That's coming out the same time. Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
I might check that out, because I really like them as writers. They write a really fun book. A jam-packed fun book.
When did Scott Koblish do stuff on The Flash? Or are you thinking of Scott Collins?
I must be thinking of Scott
Collins.
I think
Collins. You might have been, too. Because I was also done, I was like, oh, I'd like to see that.
The issues he did that were like the lost issues were awesome.
Fucking awesome. Better be.
They're great, great.
Scott Koblish.
Just out of curiosity, have we talked about any news yet?
No.
There isn't much, is there?
There's just some news. Sad news
for me. Oh, the Matt Fraction leaving FF and Fantastic Four. Which I didn't find the article because I didn't look that hard, but...
It was on IGN even, had it. But,
As long as they keep turning
I'm not particularly... Yeah, I'm not particularly sad just because of all the books that he's writing, the ones that I'm least excited for, surprisingly, are, like, the Marvel teams that I love the most. But, like, Fantastic Four and FF are, I think, were his weakest books anyway.
Fantastic Four was an okay book with moments of really great stuff and moments of kind of whatever. FF, I thought, was FF almost was good as Hawkeye,
I think,
to be honest with you.
Well, I think, like... Dave Aja and Mike Allred kind of deserve more of the credit for those books, honestly. Like, Matt Fraction's a genius,
I'm
but...
I'm sorry, I just read a panel where Deadpool refers to himself as Deep Pity.
Oh, yeah, Deep Pity. Amazing, eh?
That made me laugh.
I do agree with you that the artists kind of make those books
especially
a lot more
for Deadpool.
But, yeah, for Deadpool.
What did for I FF? Oh, sorry, I was reading something. Yeah, for Hot Guy.
Yeah, and FF, too, because Allred's just such a... fun artist, and Quinones.
There's no
artist.
Denying that Matt Fraction's a genius writer. I mean, I'm reading everything that he's writing. I really like Matt Fraction, but yeah. I think FF and Hot Guy specifically were like 70% artist driven. I would say, like the Pizza Dog issue, I
was 100%
Aja.
Yeah.
I would argue that like pretty sure that was like almost all Aja doing that. Not to slight Matt Fraction. I think Matt Fraction's a genius. I literally buy everything that he writes.
Yeah.
I love him, but I suck his penis
regularly.
We covered that.
But I'm more excited for his creator own stuff.
I like it. I like Satellite Sam. I like it more than I like Fantastic Four. I like FF more than I like Satellite Sam. And then
that's just a clear
Mike Allred staying on it.
That's just clearly a stupid thing to say, what you're saying.
That's fair.
Nothing is better than Satellite
Sam. That's not fair.
Nothing is
better. Fight him.
Hawkeye Satellite Sam.
But
not even like
the one
wife.
Here's one thing. You know what?
I don't have a son yet. He could be a dick. We haven't even met him.
He was your son at the moment of conception, Joey.
I would say there is a 60-75% chance that my son will be a douche.
I thought that you were going to say that your son is not your son.
60-75%
chance
of precipitation
that
and douchey son.
We have no way of knowing.
My son could be awful.
Did you ask Nicole?
If he's a dick?
Yeah.
Well, what's she going to say? No,
like,
fruit of my loins is the hellspawn, Damien?
Would she call it the fruit of your loins, Joey? Or would she tell you to fuck off for asking
not,
such a weird question?
Does that
question?
Not sound like something she would say?
Well, it doesn't sound like it's something anyone would say, really.
Would you eat fruit that was from someone's loins? Like, if they found a way to, like, grow apricots?
Yeah.
In, like...
Like, gooch apricots.
Yeah, gooch apricots.
Gooch apricots.
You know
I need a gooch apricot. I don't know. I don't see why not. Like, if you wash it and...
Yeah, I mean, you know, what is the stigma about...
Gooch?
not just the gooch, but the genitals.
It depends on who it is, but 100% of the time, yes.
Well, yeah, genitally, it has to do...
I need you, fucking faggot.
You need
you. I have a tattoo in my mouth. That's it. That
that's,
says
see, it's
for
funny
the
because
story.
It's
Whoa.
No, yeah, it's funny because it's...
Whoa! Oh! Hickory dickory duck.
We got dice in here. Dice is here. Hickory dickory duck.
I have a tattoo in my mouth that says for the story, so yeah, I'm going to eat some the crazy goo.
You have to kind of expand
just
on that.
Me.
I have this tattoo in my mouth. Well, just showing me does it does on your lower lip.
I mean, there's already something called bumbleberries. Yes. Like, there's That's already bumbleberry awesome. Pie, so you must have gooch, bricots, and bumbleberries.
Bum.
Yeah, exactly. Bum.
That's what you're laughing at. We've been talking about gooch.
Guys,
for the
I turned
25
last week, and I'm
Happy
like,
birthday,
happy,
by the way.
Way.
I was gone.
Whoa!
Yay, Coke.
Thank you, guys. I kind of brought it up to see if you guys would know.
You know what Joey's going to kind of bring up?
I bring it up just
son.
To feel alive.
Kinda.
Kinda.
Only going to kind of bring it up.
Kinda.
I was kind of hoping Bender would do a lot of the work.
Your son is going to drool so much.
My son is just going to be covered. Would you stop crinkling that bag?
I'm sorry.
Jesus, fuck. It's been going on and on. It's like this podcast. It's just... I figured he's going to stop eventually, right?
I fidget. I'm sorry.
Holy Christ.
I get nervous when I think of Gooch.
Anyway, my abandonment of my child aside, I only have my pick left because I don't want to talk about Six Gun Gorilla.
I think I've got two. I've got two books I can talk about. All right, three books.
I don't need to talk about those.
Can I look at your Secret Avengers while you're talking there, Ryan?
Yeah.
Look at Butch Guys.
Secret Avengers is a cool book. It's the art in that is a fucking.
Ed Brisson's going to take that book over here.
Is he?
Oh, it's Butch Geist and Steve Epting. Wow.
Yeah, but it's the artwork in that is all over the place. It's all good.
Oh, wow, this is not Butch Geist's best work.
Okay, it's good.
This is not Winter Soldier caliber Butch Geist.
Oh, that sucks. It's not even that issue of Thor caliber.
I don't even need to say anything. I'm going to say Uncanny X-Men was good, and Justice League of America suffered the exact same problems the first Doug Monkey one did, where there's 1,000 inkers and some of his pages are slated. But anyway, we're going to talk about...
is it this book that has 1,000 inkers as well?
Yeah, but I didn't really notice that. I read that somewhere. Okay, this is...
Well, Jim Chung has a really strong pencil. Like, his pencils are really tight, so it wouldn't surprise me.
So, Jonathan Hickman and Jim Chung... Infinity Part 1 of 6, and I read a review saying that, like, oh, the inks are inconsistent. And maybe it was because I read Justice League of America number 7, the Trinity War Part 4, right, like, before that. I was like, no, not. Like, the inks are fine in Infinity. whereas the inks in Trinity War, unfortunately, are kind of unkind to some of Doug Monkey's pencils. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Infinity is like a perfect... event comic for me is, I think, a culmination of everything that I love about Jonathan Hickman Avengers so far, everything that I love about Jonathan Hickman sci-fi, everything that I love about Jim Chung pencils. Like, I thought that this book was an absolute blast.
I loved it.
And I will totally understand people who would say that it's not really... It shouldn't really be, like, an all-encompassing event because ultimately, like... It really just ties into the Avengers books. Yeah, it does. If you haven't read Hickman's Avengers to this point, you'd be completely lost.
Better get a bucket. Someone's gushing.
But fuck you.
fuck, there are a lot of inkers on this book.
Yeah, on Trinity War? Yeah.
Yeah, there's 5 of them.
Did you... Remember when we ranted about the first issue of... Or it was part 2 of Trinity War. It was the Doug Monkey... Justice League one. Some pages, all of the pencils, I will say, in that book look spectacular.
Sorry, I didn't mean to...
But the inking is ridiculous. Anyway,
you know what? I was going to say that there are 4 inkers on Infinity. It's also twice the fucking size.
Twice the size. It's 5. Some people were complaining about the price.
This book,
it's 5 bucks for 64 pages.
Book.
It's literally like a pound.
Mind you, there's like 10. Not, there's like 10 of those Hickman pages that just like outbound with like a moon.
Yeah.
But
the... I like that it was organized in chapters like that. I also really like the John Hickman design pages, where it's the title page, mm-hmm. where all of his books feature that, even East of West and stuff like that. They all have that little touch to them, which I love. For the most part, I mean, a third of this book has the Avengers in it. The rest of it is just... really cool sci-fi, really cool environments and worlds. The Space Knights. I mean, he's pulling up some really like Z-list. of Galador? I can't remember.
Galador.
Sorry, I just read the last two pages of Trinity War, and it's the silliest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Is it I Am the Box or something?
Stranger! He's gone. No, he's dead. He's finally dead. Why is Boston Brandy able to talk to them? Isn't he supposed to be a ghost?
Who the fuck knows?
And then all of a sudden, Wonder Woman goes, I have the box! And then the last panel, she has this stupid eye in the middle of her tiara and a big old sword, and she's holding this, like, head. She goes, and the box has me! Like,
yeah, it's pretty dumb.
Fuck, that's stupid.
I still Who wrote that, like, a so melodramatic 13-year-old? Like,
Jeff Johns and Jeff Lemire, further proving that Jeff Lemire should only ever work on creator-owned books.
I really like Trinity War, though. I like it.
Oh, this was like
he should because Trillium was
well.
Very
you're reading
good
it out of context. To be fair,
you're okay.
Like, true. And we also went on a huge rant to embrace like the stupid of comics.
No,
like,
I know. I'm
week.
Not saying that
it's pretty it's goofy.
Bad
like,
it's
very B movie campy.
It's not even B movie campy. It's Darth Vader going no.
You're reading it out of context. You're reading the last two pages of issue 4
in context as Wonder Woman saying, "And the box has me." Not Darth Vader saying no.
It's pretty bad. It's
okay,
pretty bad.
It's
pretty dumb.
I'm just saying. And since when was Dr. Light part of the Justice League?
Since the issue before Trinity War.
Why is he
the issue before Trinity War because they set him up as cannon fodder. We're not talking about that though, Joey.
Okay, here. I got a plus side and a minus side of this book. Plus side, we get to see Black Bolt say stop.
I loved it.
Cause and there's so Ryan much
Ryan does love Black
Bolt. There's so
Black
much
Bolt
inhuman,
is awesome.
There's so much inhuman stuff yep. going on. I fucking love it.
Yeah.
The downside, we get that stupid fucking Iron Man costume.
Which one?
Guardians
the,
of the Galaxy.
The Guardians
one?
I hate
what?
It.
I dig it, man.
He looks
cool.
Like a spokesman for McDonald's.
He
it's
does.
Fucking
it's
yep.
fucking
I like
does.
It, but now you, oh. No, he looks kinda like I don't know, like totally like a samurai superhuman samurai cyber squad kind of a thing.
Oh, he doesn't look like an
Remember that
he
show?
Doesn't look like Iron Man. It's just, I hate it. I hate it so much.
Fanboy.
That's true.
Fuck you, fanboy.
I do like these
dreadlords. The box have you?
These dreadlords are cool, though.
The page where Black Bolt says stop is such a cool... I want to see, like, just the pencils for that page, because everything's vibrating on the in the panel. Like, it looks really cool. Oh, okay.
When this series also, is done, I'll borrow all 6 of them and read them in the background of an episode, like we did with...
you'll be confused.
And
you won't understand what's going on.
Take you, an
you have to read
so.
New Avengers and Avengers.
I don't care. I think it'll be funny.
Because
Joey reads events after they're done while you guys talk about other books, and then I report in throughout the episodes.
The ending, the whole catalyst for the rest of the series, because it's branching off into three bits. It's going to be like 16 issues long, ultimately.
Yeah.
Because you've got the Avengers, which is going to be the Avengers in space fighting the Builders. You've got the new Avengers, which I guess is probably going to be focusing a lot on the Inhumans.
And
Black
Thanos
Bolt.
A lot,
Thanos like is all Thanos is all Infinity. Like yeah. Infinity is charting Thanos on Earth because now the Avengers are gone. There's only Iron Man and like a couple other dudes there who are the contingency plan. But the Avengers are gone. They're across the galaxy fighting the Builders. So new Avengers, I imagine, will have something to do. I'm not. I don't know. I haven't fucking read it.
Yeah.
But Infinity is supposed to be the. Is supposed to be Thanos on Earth now that the Avengers are gone. So it's a really, really well planned event. I'm so happy with it. I just love everything Hickman.
I just love how they have this checklist, which is kind of neat. It's got like,
yeah.
You know,
I like that actually because it shows the reading order as well.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go on the internet and be like, what order do I read these in? Once
it's like
done?
Infinity, Avengers, New Avengers, and the next page is like tie ins. Like, why does Thunderbolts 14 have? Is why is that an Infinity tie-in?
Because it's a superhero comic in the
Captain,
Marvel universe.
Yeah,
that's how events work.
Captain Marvel makes sense because she's in the fucking.
She's
Avengers.
In the Avengers. Yeah,
like
Spider Woman makes
right
sense.
Thunderbolts is still Red Hulk, Deadpool, Elektra, Punisher, and Venom.
People who have nothing to do with anything that's going on. I also really like the sequence in this book where they confront the Skrulls who are just eating pizza. That made me laugh. That was
my ice machine just made noise.
It
always does that.
But
yeah,
anyways,
the Skrulls part was funny. Yeah.
I seriously think it looks gorgeous. I'll eventually read it when I catch up with the Avengers.
It's great.
It looks really cool.
Jonathan Hickman.
I trust Hickman.
Avengers is fantastic. It's so good.
Trust him.
Are we going to do this quick?
Oh, yeah.
Thor God of Thunder.
I okay.
Issue 11.
Yeah. Thor God of Thunder is a spectacular book. Like, it's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't mean to say anything derogatory about it, but like everyone was pooping their pants about this issue particularly, and it
in a
was
good way.
You know, yeah,
People loved it.
Yeah.
Do you guys read this stuff? Like, I never hear when books are popular. Oh, it was Pick of the Week on iFanboy, I see.
Yeah.
Huh. I'm actually curious. Where do you
and Newsarama and, Comic Vine and CBR and...
Even IGN liked it.
Yeah, and IGN. I don't know why I go to IGN. We even talked about this every week.
It's a pain for pleasure thing for me.
But
they're so dumb.
It was a really good conclusion to his arc. Mm-hmm. And again, I would say that it was a really, really solid issue. But, it was Return of the King. I mean, more than half of it... Well, maybe not more than half of it. That's a hyperbole. But
I disagree.
So much of it was just epilogue. Which didn't bother me. I'm just saying, I'm surprised why people loved it so much. The actual confrontation with Gore is about 2 pages. And it's that huge 2-page spread. Beyond that, it's just oh no, the bomb exploded from the last issue. How are we going to survive? Are we going to survive? Oh, we're going to survive because of Perez and Thor. And it sounds like I'm ripping on this book. I'm not.
I just love how my favorite thing is how are we going to stop the God Bomb? Thor will hit it with two Mjolnirs.
Thor will hit it with more than one hammer.
He'll hit it with two hammers, and it'll work. Don't worry.
That made me laugh.
I love it. I don't have the problem that you have with it.
Well, it's not even a problem. It's just it's a surprise because it was very good. I just think the last issue was way better. I mean, the last issue was the crazy, full of action. It was three Thors fighting people. It was such a blast. Mm-hmm. This one was also very cool, but it was just the tail end and the epilogue. So it was the very last scene of the climax, followed by, Frodo in bed, and then Sam and the rest of the hobbits come in weird little white outfits hopping around in slow motion, and then Bilbo going off to hang out with the elves and more, 3 more hours of Sam marrying Rose. It was just all epilogue stuff. So it's, again, it's not even necessarily a critique, it's just an observation that I find strange that everyone was so over the moon specifically about this issue. I get people being over the moon about this series because it is really spectacular. It's a great, great, great series. Jason Aaron was born to write this character, man.
You know what? I think getting into a collection of these 11 issues would read fucking amazing. Think that'd be cool.
Esad Ribic is... Oh, this is my favorite Esad Ribic art that I've ever seen.
Yep. It's that double page of the clash between the two.
So cool. Fucking excellent. I mean, that's ultimately this 2-page spread. That's kind of why I was the rest of it is epilogue, because the entire the past year of Thor has been leading to this double page spread.
Yeah,
everything culminated there, right there. It's done. Mm-hmm. He beats him. Well, it's not like we didn't see that coming. I mean, but that was it.
It's still so cool. I don't know.
I'm not saying it's not cool. I know. It was great. I loved it.
This page right before that 2-page spread, though, with Thor with the power of the God Bomb, is just, he's so badass. Sick. I think Thor should always have 2 hammers. It's just so cool. I don't know. I fucking adored this issue. It was very close to being my pick, to be honest.
I really did too. It was so good. Mm-hmm. It's really just the 8 pages at the end. I'm not even complaining about the 8 pages at the end because I enjoyed them and they were necessary. I was just surprised that everyone pooped their pants about it. So I was really? Oh, okay. Yeah, totally. I mean, I can just understand the pooping your pants about the actual climax issue, the issue that's all action. This was still very good.
This was close to being my pick of the week, but it was fourth, which sounds like it's not close, but this was an excellent week.
Thor just always kind of... I guess...
There's lots of great books.
This book just always rules, so I guess when... Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a good book.
It's got the Cap. Well, I see, and I only read some of the Captain America stuff, but it's got the Daredevil stigma now, where everything it's always good. So
the Daredevil and Hawkeye.
Not quite though, because Daredevil's better. But
I can just see the art. Hey, speaking of,
I'll just quickly. Secret Avengers has a great story. It's really cool. It's like a different. It's a very fun, different Avengers tale than what you usually get, because it's
the
just like espionage.
So uneven.
It's all over the place.
It's crazy.
Definitely.
Three artists jumping back and forth between them. They're all good artists.
And this is the first issue that's really had that problem. It's been pretty decent.
But even when you get three really good artists jumping back and forth, it takes you out of the book.
It's all the worst art ever from most three good artists. Like,
and then
The Butch guys and Steve Epting stuff both looks not good. Hmm.
And then Fantastic Four issue 11. I think I might have mentioned this before, but it was probably my least favorite of the Fantastic Four.
That's his last issue that he's writing by himself.
I think he's got one more.
I just read it. It's like Christopher, is the last issue that he's writing with the solo writing.
Of FF. Him. Of Fantastic Four already. Christopher.
Carl Kessel?
Yeah,
Sabela or whatever.
Well, Kessel's joining this book and taking over. Taking this one over.
Christopher Sabela was
actually the article. I know, but I'm saying that
looking at the book.
I'm telling you, I understand that, but Carl Kessel's taking over the
book. Yeah. Which one? Okay. Yeah.
And Lee Allred is taking over FF.
Yeah. I'll probably. Epting's
pages don't look that
bad. I'm pretty confident.
For Epting, they don't look good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident I'm going to drop Fantastic Four maybe now.
I'm probably
FF, I'll keep going until the end of that arc. That
well, I bet you Lee Allred, because Mike Allred and Lee Allred, it'll still be good.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And it's a Mike Allred book.
It's still Mike Allred. You buy everything Mike
Allred. And like I said, Fraction's plotted out till 16, I think, in both books. So they're going with his story. And Fantastic Four
just go with
my least favorite Fraction book. I'm not a huge fan of Fantastic Four.
Fair enough.
The book. It's just.
It's time for a little thing we do every week where we make up a song on the spot.
Oh, I wish I had that guitar.
It's my favorite. It's favorite. It's his favorite comic.
What's your favorite
comic book? It's a comic book.
Are you going to tell me?
I'm going to tell you.
Maybe we should talk about it now.
Okay. Oh, you fucked it up.
Of course I did. That's what I do.
Stupid epilogue.
That's what I do.
I'm going to go first because it seems like it's been a long time since I've known to a comic now. Because you guys read too many.
Interesting because it's a long time since we talked about this comic.
Yeah, we didn't. And actually, we didn't talk about it. Thanks for fucking spoiling it.
Segway.
I said Dundercunt.
Segway.
You're a goof for cunt. I you said Sega.
No, he said Segway.
Oh, you fucking ruined it.
You do.
I ruined it. I'm the goof for cunt. Okay, well, anyway, sorry.
Oh, you spoiled my comic, too.
Goof for cunt?
Yeah. Oh, wait, I thought you said Astro City. Oh!
In fairness, I mentioned mine
at
like
least
an hour
I didn't
ago.
Say Ghosted. Oh!
That's not my favorite.
Isn't it?
My favorite.
Oh, Ghosted Number 2 also came out. Oh,
no, it was my favorite.
Don't you look
for you Gooch for cunt?
Okay, my favorite was Saga Number 13. Eisner Award winning Saga for best series. I love this book. I'm so happy it's back.
Me too.
And I really, really liked. First of all, I liked the hospital we're at the beginning of this issue, the Landfallen Army Medical Center. But I particularly like the introduction of these two like tabloid journalists.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see more about these guys. They look so cool.
Yeah, the line, the first panel that I, well, obviously the first page is beautiful, but like. I'm so happy to have this series back, and the first page where it really sunk in was the first panel of page 2 where you see everyone in line at the center, and there's like
a bear.
Yeah, there's just a bear.
Yeah.
And there's all these really great characters. It's just, it's
amazing. And I like Marco's beard.
Yeah, it's
haggard
as
beard too.
I like
bummed, the dad's dead.
I just like that I had just shit myself.
Yeah. And I really love like the dynamic between Clara and why did my mind just go?
Alana.
Good for
Alana, thank you, Alana. Alana and Clara, like that dynamic between them is so funny. I've been reading this donkey shit and fed my son.
Yeah.
Great. And I also really liked the stuff with the Will this week.
Mm-hmm.
The Will is like pretty much the best character in the book.
That's pretty
and,
awesome.
And I like them. Oh, and also the skill was coming to
that
life.
That was so Final Fantasy. It was awesome.
It was so great. But just that scene. I love the photo of the Will in the stock that he's looking at by the fire while he's smoking.
Yeah, where he's got hair.
And then like the stock comes and talks to him again, like another hallucination of the stock. And at the end, they name the slave girl Sophie.
Yeah.
And this is the first issue where I actually find that I'm liking Gwen more. Like, I actually think she's a pretty cool character.
I love.
I always thought she was a cool character, but now I actually like her.
I really love the writer of their favorite book showing up for the first time as like this drunken piece of shit. Stupid cunts here to take back my advance. Just drunk out of his head. But no one makes worse first impressions than writers.
Honestly, that just reminded me, and not I'm sure it's not because they're referencing it, but just because I love the movie so much. It reminded me of Sterling Hayden's character in The Long Goodbye. He's playing like a Hemingway type guy, but really great. You should all watch The Long Goodbye. It's a great movie.
They say Calgary got flooded.
It did.
And did
I,
it?
I, and I was like, I no, fuck you guys.
Whoa, fuck you, Sega.
Sega. I was telling. It was, I'm such a dork. I was like, Sarah, Sega's out again, and she went, oh, that's great, because she reads it in trades and stuff, and then sometimes catches up in single issues. But I was like, yeah, this one and the back matter, Calgary got a shout out. And she went, what? And I went, yeah, they mentioned that it flooded. And that was it. And it was super.
Was that this?
I did. Because I was trying to, I was like, because excited, I just kind of wanted to talk to someone about comic books, and Sarah's always there. So she has to listen to it. So sorry, Sarah. But
suck it, Sarah.
I was like, anyway, I just told that story. I'm not going to tell it again, hey, so you fuckers laugh. So
we always go to the Red and White comic show. Like, we're going to go again this year. It's September 15th. But
sweet,
this is the first year where, like, they actually have, like, an artist alley, really. Like, they've always kind of had it, but it's never really been...
Tyler Jenkins was there last time.
It's got Nick Gracie, Chris Peterson, Gillian Fleck, Gerard Garcia, Ryan Ferrier, Kurt Pyers, Fiona Staples, Riley Rosmo, and Scott Kowalczyk.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm definitely
all Calgary artists and people, and many of them are not at the big comic book convention, yeah. So that just goes to show how shitty the big comic book
convention. When is the Red and White show?
15th of September. We said that already.
I gotta remember that, because Juggernaut was asking me the other day.
Yeah, the
Jugs?
Jugs. Juggy Brodel team?
Juggy Brodel. Juggy
Sinekind of Doty Chody.
Sinekind
of Doty Chody. My favorite was Sinekind of Doty Chody.
My favorite was
Sinekind
of Astro City 3.
Oh, that art is really colorful.
You don't allow singing on this show. Mr. Sanderson.
Okay.
So I feel saturated.
Astro City number 3 by Kurt Busiek and Brent Eric Anderson. So the original lineup on this book. I haven't read every issue of Astro City. I can't remember if Brett Anderson does all of the issues, but all the issues that I've read, he's illustrated. So this is one of my favorite comic series ever. It's so happy. It's just such an... It like so gladly embraces the fun and like hope that usually encapsulate like the concept of a superhero, which I really, really enjoy. Yeah, well, fun is stupid. But Brett Anderson has some beautiful pages in this book. There's a lot of Honor Guard in it. And it's a continuation of the story that was started at the beginning of issue number 2. Issue number 1 was kind of a standalone one that kind of set up just the world again, to kind of throw you back into it. And then issue 2 has this girl working in a call center. It's basically like a dispatcher for the Honor Guard. And at the end of issue 2, she... makes a judgment call that ends up getting a lot of people hurt by accident. Like, she didn't feel that the Honor Guard was necessary to call into this particular call-in. She thought that it was a domestic dispute. It was like a little girl who phoned her and said that her mom was being hurt. So she sent social services over instead of Honor Guard, and then it turned out that it was like actually supervillains there who were hurting her mom and whatever. And it turns out to be this big blowout between the Skull Crushers, I think. Yeah, the Skull Crushers and the Honor Guard. And it's this girl, it's this really, really deeply personal, beautiful story of this girl who works at a call center and then feels that she's done an injustice. So she goes out of her way to use all the resources of the call center that she's working at, which are basically like these crazy sci-fi time portals and shit like that, to get to this area and try to solve the problem herself. So she goes there and ends up saving this little girl's life. And it's such an excellent series. Kurt Busiek
love that artwork. It's very Gary Frank.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Kurt Busiek just writes comics that really just make me happy. They're so joyful. And, I don't know, they're like reading a big hug with superheroes that punch people. Astro City is fantastic. And then the end is, again, seriously, like a great big hug. Just makes you feel good. Even the end of the last one, even though it ends with like, holy shit, no, man, everything's going wrong. It kind of sets it up with like, don't worry. It'll all be okay. Plus, Alex Ross front cover is breathtaking. So, Astro City is one of my favorite comic series. If there was like That I think Astro City is one of those series that I would always recommend to someone, especially if they were if they kind of dug, you know, superhero stuff. But like, there's always series like Why the Last Man is always one I lend to people. Fables is always one I lend to people.
Because
Astro City, yeah, Astro City is definitely one of those series as well. Now, Cam, done.
I like
bye
Fables and Why the Last Man.
They're both pretty good, eh?
You want to know something about Why the Last Man?
Why?
I really hope I'm not wrong about this. At times, they had fill-in artist.
Goran Suzuka.
That's... Was that it?
Okay, yep. Good.
Cool. Because my favorite...
I see.
...is a book illustrated by Goran Suzuka.
Whose art looks fucking sweet.
Oh, it's so awesome.
He's so good.
Written by Joshua Williamson and colors by Miroslav Merva.
He's been doing some fill-ins for Wonder Woman, too.
Oh, and who did the cover?
Sion Pilhypes.
Sean Pilhypes. It's like it's a really cool cover, by the way.
It is.
I didn't even notice that was a Sean Phillips cover until just now.
I think
now.
He's doing all the covers, isn't he? He did the first
one. I think
cover
he did the
sure.
first one, yeah.
He did the first one, yeah. And the second one, I assume he's doing more.
He did the first one and the second one, right? And I assume he's doing more, too.
I saw the cover for the third one.
Do you assume he's doing more?
Yeah, that's a Sean Phillips cover.
Yeah.
That's a very cool cover, too. This book, out of nowhere, is quickly becoming one of my favorite books being published. Like, one of my top five favorite books. It's just... It's Ocean's 11 in a haunted
They're
house.
They're stealing a ghost.
They're stealing
a ghost. I
think
I have to go back and pick up the first
you
issue.
You absolutely do. We get a little more on, like, a little more characterization on this team that he's basically put together. A little less on, I can't remember his name, Jackson, I think is the main character's name. He's not so central in the story. It's a lot about the other people and what they how they spend their first day here. We get the one guy who's the professional con artist. He's like a magician and stuff. And he walks into this... He finds this secret door, which is accessed by pulling a certain book on a
Don't
bookshelf.
Tell everyone. That's
no,
a
I'm
secret.
Not, I'm not going to say what's in the door. But it's a bookshelf with a certain book, and you pull it, and then it opens.
I love
like
those.
All rich people should have in their house. And then it leads this passageway to this door, and when he opens the door, it's fucking wild. We get...
This looks like maybe
it looks
it's
like
the,
Why the
maybe,
Last Man.
No, maybe it's like the paper that it's printed on. Like it really looks like some of his best stuff. I don't know, like just the way that the colors kind of
the colors are.
It all
kind of
looks. Sorry to interrupt your train of thought here, but everything kind of looks like pastel almost. Like the colors are really,
but still bold.
I don't know. It looks really good.
Yeah.
Looks like, and Goran Suzuki is always really good, but that looks spectacular.
We also get a like appearance by this kind of bumbling sheriff of this town here.
Bumbling sheriff.
And
hi, I'm bumbling
he's
sheriff.
Awesome.
Hello, my name is Bumbling Sheriff.
Berg.
He's got a really funny little thing, but lots of little spooky hints. At more or less what's to come with this house and how haunted this house is.
Just on a scale of 1 to 10, how haunted is this house?
Pretty haunted.
That's not a number.
Oh, dude, it's like...
It's like 7?
How about
above 7?
When he opens the door.
The ghost of 7.
When he hits the door.
Like Brad Pitt is in this house?
What's
Kevin
the box?
Spacey?
What's in the box?
When he opens the door, it goes... Creep. That's haunted.
My house does that. Is my house haunted?
Yep.
But anyway,
it creaks, Ryan. This book is fucking awesome. I love it.
I'll go
so much.
I'll go pick up the first two issues. Actually, I will.
I highly recommend
because,
it.
Because you're raving so heavily.
I would recommend this to most people, and that's weird for two issues.
To most people?
Yes.
What about people who can't read?
That,
what about blind people?
Those are the exceptions.
What about dead people? Because dead people are people, too.
They should fucking read it, those houses. Lazy cunts.
Jesus.
Anyways,
this is why I tune out.
Fair enough.
I read Reddit.
I know. The paper that this is printed on, by the way, makes it a lot. Like
I like that paper.
It's such a small thing, but
it makes
I
the
like
color.
It a lot.
No,
it's
it makes
a great
the color.
It's a really great book.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you fucking marry it, Joe?
I will. Why don't you shut your mouth?
As a side note, I'm just
I will it. When you finally ask Ghosted Paper to marry you.
All right, Ghosted Paper, will you be Nicole's sister wife?
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
As a quick side note, Five Ghosts, the Fabian Gray, The Haunting of Fabian Gray.
I stopped getting that book.
It was recently bumped up to an ongoing.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool, because I stopped getting it because it wasn't in my pull list one day, and I forgot to pick it up, and then I realized that it was done.
The artwork gets scratchier and pulpier every issue, and I kind of like it. Like it's, but it's
it was a blast of a book. I should go back.
It is. It's really good.
Some of those.
And I'm so happy.
It's really good.
I think I'm only missing how many was
five.
It? Was
five.
I think I'm only missing two then.
Yeah, and then
maybe. Yeah, I must only be missing.
They're taking a break, and then they're coming back with a one shot, and then they're going into another arc. Also, I don't know what this book is, but it looks
like... Well, when the image
shows
come out, we'll know.
Speaking of books that are taking a break, The Unwritten is taking a break next month, I think, or 2 months from now. Mm-hmm. And then they have the graphic novel coming out, The Ship That Sank Twice. And then in January or February, they're restarting with a number one issue. Vertigo's doing a bunch of weird stuff right now. Unwritten's rebooting, not rebooting,
I'm
but it's coming up with a new volume.
What precedent is there in Vertigo series for restarting with a new number one like that?
The Invisibles.
Series?
The Invisibles, I think, is like the only
yeah,
one.
But I think the first series of Invisible wasn't even at Vertigo. I think the second and third incarnations of Invisibles were with Vertigo, but the first one was somewhere, it was like a... I don't think the first run was
it
Vertigo.
It was DC, for sure.
But now...
I don't know...
No, it was Vertigo.
True.
I have the first issue. It was Vertigo.
Unwritten.
I have it all in singles. It definitely had the Vertigo imprint on it, for sure.
Unwritten is a creator-owned title, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, it's Vertigo.
Vertigo owns it.
Well...
No, Grant... Well, yes, they do.
Yeah.
Would Vertigo have control as publisher to change the numbering like that?
They could make that.
I think it's more...
Okay, no, Rob's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's more a creative decision because the book has been going on so long... And people don't want to jump, especially a book that's already struggling, don't want to jump on a book that's at issue.
It's more like
50.
I suspect it's more like they reached a point where they could easily start a new arc. And with Vertigo kind of getting some revitalization, they're hoping to pick up some more readers. So, because they don't sell very many copies. So I could see why, I totally see why they're doing
it. They sell a lot
of
trades.
Editorial
yeah.
who's making the decision.
I think
it's probably them
carrying Gross.
Yeah, carrying Gross and editorial saying,
like, this
is
an opportunity
good idea.
To get more singles because. I think that book is able to stay afloat because trade sales for that book are actually
yeah.
are really good. But they're restarting that. They say that there's a catalyst for it to start a new volume. But I have a feeling that like the new volume... it's one of my favorite books. And the new volume I'm going to be really excited about, but I have a feeling that a lot of people will jump on with the first couple issues and be like, what the fuck am I reading? This is bizarre.
Well, it's a
fairly because it's
story,
really
right?
complex. Like, it's really complicated. And also, interesting Vertigo news, is Collider... I didn't mention... No, I talked about this off mic, right?
Yeah.
Collider... has to rename itself,
yeah.
and now starting with issue two is Federal Bureau,
which is fucked up because it's you cannot copyright a title.
No,
against the law.
You have to read
it's
the interview.
Not
like reading the interview with Simon Oliver, he seemed both frustrated and confused. He was just like, "Well, I didn't look too much. I guess someone had claim to it or something, or I don't know. It's totally like a well, fuck."
I mean, didn't they announce that book like 2 years ago?
They announced it last year at.
Yeah.
Last San Diego,
yeah.
Yeah,
so it's not like it should be a surprise. Anyway.
I don't know, the first issue came out, it sold out, so it's doing well for Vertigo, I guess, like well enough to warrant at least another 8 issues before it gets canceled. But it seems so weird that already, like, that would be so frustrating as a creator, like, already
yeah.
people have been talking about it for a year, it finally comes out, it's in every single Vertigo book, in big letters, Collider! Just kidding. We have to change the name. That would be confusing for a lot of retailers too, I suppose, or a lot of especially not, or more so file holders who would have read the first issue, put it in their file, and
yeah.
don't read Newsarama like we fucking do, like, or don't look at the solicits.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's true.
That's when you just kind of hope that your retailer is
awesome,
yeah,
like Chris.
Good one,
yeah,
like
just,
ours is. I'm sure our retailer.
Well, boys, we've reached the time of the show where. Ryan has something to say.
I just have an idea to literally print money. We buy
Why
money
we just print
printers.
Money.
No, here's an idea. Want to print money? Let's write a comic. 50 issues. Every issue, number one.
Isn't that called Skull Kickers?
DC's doing it next month.
Yeah. Well,
good idea.
DC fucking ruins everything. Fuck them.
I've got another good idea.
Fuck them in their stupid
ending
ass.
The show.
Yes.
Oh.
No.
Yeah.
What was your other good idea?
Chocolate flavored books.
Because
people don't read anymore, but they love eating.
Yeah. I love eating.
Like, and if you ate something with words on it, it's like the same as reading.
Yeah, you absorb the knowledge.
It's like
if you drink
friends.
The blood of a dog.
Yeah,
you become a dog yourself.
Yeah,
become a dog yourself.
Yeah,
that's
same
not true.
For pheasants, but interestingly enough, not for partridges.
The other day, I was babysitting a friend's child, and it sneezed in my mouth. And now you are a child. And now I'm a baby. And now I'm an infant.
We had to teach him to swear.
Yeah. I'm having to stand up on two chairs right now just to reach the microphone.
I can't wait to have a son so I can teach him to swear.
Did you know that
my father taught me.
When birds, their feet aren't, like, they're not hairy, that means that they're not native to America.
Yeah, I did know that.
I found that out.
Yeah.
Did you know that when birds are walking down the street in Europe, you can have sex with it and it's not bestiality because it's talking about a woman?
Get this. Did you know that if a male mallard duck sees a dead male mallard duck,
it will fuck it?
Really?
Yeah.
Is that actually
that
fuck
is
it.
A thing.
Oh my God.
Learn that on Edumacation, the new Kevin Smith podcast, which you would like. It's very
fun. Is it very fun?
Anyway, so we've reached the part of the show where my need to poop has exceeded my desire to continue podcasting. So, we're going to wrap it up. Until next week, where we'll talk about comics and the same old
shit. Wait. Do you need to poop or do you want to poop? Because there is a distinction.
If I don't poop, I might get like I have a septic gut. What happens?
That doesn't sound like a medical thing. A septic gut.
If your colon bursts?
Colon.
You want a septic shock?
What about if your semicolon bursts?
I was going to make a semicolon. I was totally going to make a punctuation.
When your semicolon bursts, it's just a comma.
What about if it's like a period, but it's too high? What if the
bottom
half is like
a really tall girl?
Yes.
What did you say?
Like a really tall girl?
Both. Yours was better.
I like yours, though.
Pretty good.
It was maybe the same, basically the same joke.
Mm-hmm. I like period jokes. Is that weird?
Like period pieces? Like historical jokes? Like,
you know, that's why goalies wear pads, because they're always in the middle of a period.
Ah, because hockey.
I thought up that joke, I think, in grade 5.
You didn't think up that joke.
I'm sure someone else has also thought of that joke, but I swear, when I was in grade 5, I thought of that joke, and I thought it was genius. I'm sure a million other unfunny people came up with that joke as well, but when I was in grade 5, I was like, oh my God. I am the next Jerry Seinfeld.
Seinfeld would never tell a period joke.
In terms
joke.
Of like how good a comedian. I didn't mean like I was going to be like Jerry Seinfeld. I was
I'll take
my
that deal.
Niche.
That's my
I'll
side.
Take that deal.
You want to hear my joke I made up? I'm pretty sure. I don't remember ever reading it anywhere. I've been telling it for years. Why do mermaids wear seashells?
Why is that?
Because bee shells are too small. That's cute. You could tell your grandma.
I think
you've
told that on this pod before.
Oh, God.
You can tell my grandma anything because she's senile and she'll forget about it 2 seconds later.
Whoa.
She is. Anyway.
She listens to this podcast and I'm going to remind
her.
Yeah,
she's after so good.
Those fuckers are wrong about Justice League.
Like, that's.
Anyway, I don't think grandma's read a whole book in her life, to be honest.
Whoa.
Neither have I.
Yeah, she reads crochet magazines.
I don't think she has.
Wonderful lady. We're all very fond of her.
It's a form of book.
Until next week, I'm Joey G.
I'm Robbie G.
I'm Crinkly Bag Man Ryan Hatt.
And once again, we forgot to introduce ourselves at the beginning of the show.
Fuck
professionalism.
But really, if you haven't started listening yet, fuck you.
We'll see you next week. I love you.
I love you.
I know.
Oh.
I always try to do the Star
Wars
thing.
I know, we all enjoy it.